this football weekend or what, man?
Man, we were just talking off the air about Alabama-Tennessee, and if Alabama looks that sluggish against the Gamecocks at home, what are they going to look like at Neyland Stadium? Where, I mean, they're going to be like, I mean, talk about lathered up for that one. I mean, Rocky Top up the yin-yang. And certainly maybe the game where the Vols, I don't know. This is one where I think the goalposts go down to the river for sure, man. Yeah. Down to the Tennessee River now. Is Calhoun still there, by the way?
It is.
I've been up to Knoxville in a minute.
I'm with you on this. And listen, Tennessee, offensively, they need a good performance. But Alabama's been shaky. And, you know, if they lose, it's not going to surprise me at all. We'll give you our official picks coming up, guys, a little bit later on in the show. And also, we're going to get a chance to talk to Steve Coonan later in the program as well. All the things that are going on as they get ready for the start of their season.
Before we get to the Blitz, we talked earlier about Carson Beck's comments, you know, just talking about his confidence and basically keeping his head right. And a bunch of varying responses on social media and on our channel at Put 'Em Up, Sea Dukes and Mike Bell, ATL. A lot of guys saying, oh, nothing to see here with Beck. A lot of guys say they agree. They don't want to hear that the week of the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, confidence, I think it starts. Think about Kirk Cousins. Now, he's a 13-year vet and he's been around and he's been through some ups and downs, certainly in his career. But not one time have you heard Kirk Cousins, whether he came in here and didn't know anybody or, Mike, he knew two guys, talk about, you know, where he's at from a confidence standpoint and lifting guys up, having more enthusiasm. Like, there's something to be said about it. I never heard Matt Ryan talk about these kinds of things. And I know that Carson Beck is still a young man, but the fact is you're at one of the best football programs in the country. You're one of the best on one of the best teams in the country.
And you're considered a top 10 NFL draft pick.
Correct. Right. Correct. So I just want him to exude these things and not necessarily talk about, well, I need to do a better job of this. Even if Kirby has said that to you, you don't need to tell us, because that's the kind of stuff that guys go, oh, man, he ain't confident. All right, he's going to make a mistake, and then guess what? We can get in his head. I don't know if that plays or not. What I do know is that when I needed Carson Beck to be great in the second half of the Alabama game, I don't know who that guy was. I mean, he's throwing the ball around like he was in his backyard with his boys and made it look really easy, and then all of a sudden, boom, Georgia takes the lead. It's not Carson Beck's fault that they gave up the long touchdown to Ryan Williams. Right. He did his job, but, Mike, I need to see more of that.
Saw a blog today that was, I guess it was from the Dallas paper, talking about the Georgia matchup, and their angle was, yes, Texas is the best team in the country, but they haven't faced – and it's funny because we've kind of poo-pooed Arian Smith and Dylan Bell because, you know, they're good, but are they like world class?
Next level.
You know, and they're basically saying that Texas hasn't seen guys of their quality, which is interesting. And gets back to the kind of offensive firepower when Beck can throw if he wants to for 450 if Bobo's going to let him rip. So that was just interesting to hear a Texas newspaper talk about, you know, yes, Texas is good, but this is a new set of trouble that Georgia brings if Beck is on his game.
You're going to hear Kirby talk about being an underdog. Listen, it is rare. As a matter of fact, since at least the last 4 years, I can't remember what the Dogs have been an underdog. It lesson was an SEC championship game, and even that, you know, we're talking about playing Alabama. Mike, going on the road and being a dog for Georgia that's not territory they're familiar with.
Right. I mean, favorites against Bama for, you know, leading up that week. I saw Kirby last night on Scott Van Pelt on ESPN. He said, and he was asking him what was the biggest concern, and he said the injuries at offensive line, Kirby, of all the things. So Kirby was talking about the trenches.
It is. It's a problem. Texas will dive in deeper as they are very good up front, and I think it's going to allow them to kind of control the game. And what I mean by that is, it's not saying that Georgia won't make plays, but the O-line, and Dog fans, we know this. When Georgia had the best offensive line, they did what they wanted to do. Whether it was protecting the quarterback at that time, Stetson Bennett, or running the ball, Mike, I think that lends itself to Texas having a better situation. More on that coming up. We'll give you our official picks, but right now let's get to an NFL Blitz! NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hi, Saints fans. How y'all feeling today?
Oh, my God. So last night, one of my buddies.
Did you see that last night?
Yeah, I was just going to say, one of my buddies.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to go over your
head and laugh. No, it's fine. I'm sorry. It's just, it makes my chest hurt to think about it.
Oh, man. It was my boy Trustee. He's at the game. And he literally says to me, he goes, these blanker blankers have quit. And he goes, the vibe down in New Orleans amongst fans is they've already been halfway there to tuning out this coach. But after looking like the most dynamic offense in the NFL the first 2 weeks, whether it's a combination of the injuries or everything else, if you didn't see the game last night, not everybody's on Amazon. Before the half, they're driving to kick a field goal. Bo Nix throws it right into Tyrann Mathieu's chest.
Drops it.
And he's got it in his hands.
Drops it.
I mean, the Saints look deader than the dodo, and now you can laugh.
Y'all are done. You're done, okay? I don't want to hear anybody saying anything if you're a Saints fan on this program or anywhere else. You're finished. With that said, let's hear from that coach, Mike, that they probably should have fired him in offseason.
Dennis Allen
talking about the injuries.
I think guys are trying. I think guys are working. You know, we're dealing with a lot of injuries right now, and that's it's not an excuse. I don't want anybody to misconstrue that as an excuse. But it is part of it is an issue for us, and I think all of us are trying to fight through that.
All right, give you an idea of how bad.
It is. It means something.
You want to get an idea of how bad things are in New Orleans? Again, if not everybody saw the game last night, they're down three. They're down two scores. They take a timeout before the half to take a knee.
It's terrible.
They took a timeout and took a knee. And Al Michaels is like, well, here's the new one for me. The Saints look god-awful. And we love it.
Yes, we do. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes, Mike, because lots of people are saying, are you confident in your wide receiving core? They have injuries of their own, but somebody's going to step up. And Patrick Mahomes is like, I don't care who you put out there with me.
Yeah, I have extreme confidence with the guys that are on that football field. I mean, they've won games. They've won Super Bowls. They've made plays in big moments. And Brett Veach does a great job of bringing players in that can step up whenever their number's called. And so every time I step on that football field, I feel like we have the best ability to win. And I think that's a credit to Brett Veach and Coach Reed bringing in guys that really get after it and put in the work to be great every single day.
Are you really picking against Patrick Mahomes this weekend on the road against the 49ers, where the 49ers are a two-point favorite?
Well, they do find a way to look mediocre at times in the regular season, but this year they just find a way to dance with the raindrops. And like the way they beat us and the way they've beaten the Bengals with that penalty and other games where they don't, like the Chargers game, they don't look like they've got even close to hitting on all four cylinders or eight cylinders in the Chiefs' case. But yeah, a 1.5-point favor are the 49ers. You know, they're kind of doing it by committee with the running back game as McCaffrey. And, by the way, Kyle Shanahan saying that he's encouraged by the work McCaffrey's putting in, expects to see him back out there. But
wow.
Nobody's given a specific timetable. But, yeah, it's almost a pick him at 1.5. I might jump on the Chiefs.
Yeah, McCaffrey's dad said he did this to himself by overworking himself in the offseason. And so he had one of these legs that was injured, and now it's both, and that's why it's been a setback. Mike, let's talk about what the Vikings are. Do you believe in them? They are 5-0. They're at home against the Lions, who are 4-1 and beat the snot out of the Cowboys last weekend. But they're now without Aiden Hutchinson. Can the Lions contend without him, and are the Vikings for real?
You normally get 3 points to be in the home team. Vikings just a 1.5-point favorite. We've talked about all the great things that are happening with that offense. You know, it's just when you think that, you draft Jahmyr Gibbs, okay. And then the other guy, Montgomery, gets the ball. It's
true.
Just killing me.
It's true.
But they got a lot of weapons.
He just signed a new deal, though.
I know. Ross St. Brown. You got dudes. But this is kind of a big litmus test for the Vikings. You know, and we talked about Vegas still doesn't believe in, let's be honest, in Sam Darnold in this turnaround. But fantasy, if you go to like some of the fantasy websites, is he a better start than, and you could go down the line, he ranks pretty high. So I think they're maybe seeing or expecting a little bit of a lack of production with the Lions pass rush without Aiden Hutchinson.
I'm with you. I totally agree.
On the road.
It's not Darnold I believe in. I believe in the Vikings defense. Brian Flores has been amazing calling the D and Mike setting up teams.
Blitz crazy, right?
Yeah, in ways that, these OCs are struggling with what they're trying to do. I think this might be the first time we see that happen with Goff on the road. But again, it's just a 1.5-point, difference as far as the Vikings being favored at home. But this is the two questions are going to get answered. Like, if the Vikings really handle the Lions, people are going to go, man, all right, I'm done sleepwalking with the Vikings. I'm totally on them. And then if the Lions win without Aiden Hutchinson and they control the game, then you got to believe, all right, this is a deep team, deeper than we expected,
right.
And they've answered the bell. But I do think it's a rallying cry as well with Dan Campbell going, they think we got a one-man team, and he's going to get his guys fired up.
Sam Darnold with 11 touchdowns and just 4 picks. We just talked about Geno Smith with 6-6. Our boy Kirk Cousins, 9-5. 11-4. And as you said, still, trying to get that rep and getting that respect. Justin Jefferson, arguably the best in the biz with the, 4 touchdowns. He is the second leading receiver, by the way, is Aaron Jones. So using Aaron Jones out of the backfield a lot.
He's played well.
And then Jordan Addison. So fun. That's a 1 o'clock game. Some really good games in the early slate this week.
Let's hear from Justin Fields because he was asked earlier in the week about, hey, are you concerned about this competition? We found out today, not from the head coach, but from the star wide receiver who has yet to score a touchdown in George Pickens, that he's been working with Russell Wilson and that Wilson's going to start on Sunday. Here's Justin Fields talking about, look, I'm not worried about this.
I don't think I played, good enough. If I'm being real with you. If I'm being real with myself, I think if I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any
He said, if you missed it, I didn't play. I haven't played well enough to not have this happen. And he's basically taken ownership. Problem is, he actually has played well. They're 4-2. They've got a winning record. He's not turned the ball over. The thing I said to Mike is they're not pushing the ball down the field. And maybe that changes this weekend with Russ. I don't know.
Yeah, and I get it. If you are George Pickens and you're going through Kenny Pickett, who, you know, two gloves, two chains, two gloves.
It's true.
And you know, it's terrible. That was a reach at 15 for them to draft him out of Pitt. Never got the ball to
him. Felt good story.
You know, again, Pickens, but here's the thing. I mean, I've seen Pickens. We know from George he can make the amazing athletic plays, but sometimes he just flakes out, like 1 foot in, two feet, brother, NFL. But in this case, if he now feels that Fields is just an extension of Pickett and he's just the odd man out, is it wrong to cozy up to Russell and say those things? I don't know. But maybe that's where you and I were talking off the
Russell's
air.
Not the long-term answer.
No, there. He's not going to be there very long. And the other thing is, you know, I never expected a guy like Mike Tomlin, to your point to start the show, to be a guy to sort of stoke the flames of a controversy. But I think he looks at this offense as, I've got a good enough defense that we can get to the Super Bowl.
He does.
But this offense has got to be more dynamic, and Russell Wilson makes it that happened, taking the ball downfield.
It's our NFL Blitz. Let me hear from Max Crosby. Mike and I were talking about this yesterday up in Gwinnett, about Crosby coming out and basically saying, look, you know, I expected him to say, hey, I want to be a Raider for life. When asked about, could you be the next guy, traded. They moved on from Davante Adams, and he answered that question this way.
I'm not here to rebuild, I'm here to win. So, you know, I don't know whatever that means, but yeah, I'm here to win now, and wherever I'm gonna be, I'm gonna be here to win. So that's all that matters to me.
Okay. A slightly disengaged Max Crosby, because his team's terrible and he likes to play meaningful games. You can't blame the man. You know, but it just seems like, and we talked to our buddy John McClain from down in Houston, NFL, national NFL writer, and he was basically saying there's no way the Raiders come off this guy.
I agree. They'd be foolish.
By the way, did you see the meme? They said now that Tom Brady's a minority partner with the Raiders, did you see that meme where they gave him the Mark Davis haircut?
That's the best. Yeah, I retweeted it yesterday. It made me laugh because it's true, Mike. Right. I mean, literally.
I always get my Three Stooges. Was that Mo from the Three Stooges?
Mo?
That had, like, that haircut? Okay.
Hey, one more thing before we go, and that is, this is our NFL Blitz. Mike, speaking of the Cowboys, they get a bye, but Troy Aikman has been critical of the Cowboys, and he came out and said, look at the offense and what's going on with this offense. Now, I want to remind you guys, they have an offensive-minded head coach in Mike McCarthy. Right. They didn't move on from him. But Troy Aikman, the all-time great Cowboy, said this about the Cowboys.
But I think the routes are terrible. I think they run terrible routes, and I've thought that beyond this year. And I think CeeDee's got to improve in his route running. And as a quarterback, if you're not certain where guys are going to be consistently, it's hard to play the position. And so that's what I see. I see guys lazy coming off the line of scrimmage. Sometimes they run. Usually if they do, it's because they're anticipating they're going to get the football on that play. But if they're not, they don't. And it all ties together. And so I'm not impressed with that part of it. I just finished watching the Baltimore Ravens because I have them this week. You put on a film of theirs and watch their receivers run routes, and they come off the football. And so does San Francisco's and Green Bay's and others. But it's hard to play the position if you're not certain how guys are going to run routes or where they're going to be. And I'm not speaking for Dak. Dak may say, hey, I think everything's amazing. But as a former quarterback watching it, it's got to get a lot better.
Because, again, you're thrown to a spot, and that guy's going to make that turn at a crisp point and get there. Otherwise, corner's going to be there or the safety. I mean, that's why we talk about being lazy with the routes when sometimes guys get in our bag, get off of Pitts' back. There is something to be said. You guys think it's like it's a Madden game, right? Or just go down to the Buick and make a right, make a left at the manhole cover. No, you got to run that route. And even there, you got to run the route. So Troy Aikman basically saying that, and who's surprised? Brian Schottenheimer is McCarthy's OC.
Yeah.
But this goes back to what I asked you last year. Why did Jerry just not blank can McCarthy after that embarrassing playoff loss to Green Bay?
Yeah. Well, he didn't
Why bring him back?
He didn't give him a raise, but he should have probably moved on. And now they're in a situation where this is not going to get any better. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks.
Kennesaw.
The Kennesaw location. Inviting you guys to come on out and join us. Hey, this hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're coming back. Great conversation with Benjamin Albright, NFL Insider, next. Let's talk to our man Benjamin Albright. He covers the NFL. He works at KOA in Denver, but has been around.
You know, you were talking right before I jumped on. I'll answer your question. You were talking right before you jumped on about needing some pass rushers, and I tell you what, man, we got an extra one. We got an odd man out here. Could I interest you in one for maybe a lightly used Kyle Pitts? If you want to pass that up the rungs, we could use some of that on the offensive side, because our tight end room is non-existent right now. We got Greg Dulcich, who's a healthy scratch. We got Adam Troutman, who's like watching paint dry when he's out there. It's slower than molasses in January. And you got Lucas Kroll, who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. So the tight end room isn't doing anything. You got the wide receiver room over here who gets open vertically. Bo doesn't see them. So they throw the ball around the line of scrimmage all the time, and that goes nowhere. And you got an offensive line that's a little banged up. So the offensive side of the ball ain't great. Defense, I mean, the Broncos are pretty good defensively. They got a top five defense. They're getting after the quarterback, one of the top sack pressure teams. They blitz an absurd rate, something like 40%. But without Pat Surtain, that may change things a little bit. He's a matchup nightmare. He's really helped them hold things up in the secondary. And so that may change a little in this game.
Look, I would trade you Kyle Pitts for Nick Bonitto, but you're not going to send Bonitto to us because he's doing his job.
Can I interest you in a Baron Browning, a lightly used Baron Browning?
But I need a sweetener on this deal. I have to throw in some draft picks or something. But yeah, Pitts can work all that.
You have your people call my people. We'll make that work.
Here we are. We're wheeling and dealing with our man Albright from Denver. Yeah, man. And Pitts, by the way, he's getting, as you heard our conversation coming on the air, he's getting more involved in the offense. So that's kind of rounding out nicely. We are, though, we're missing a piece. Do you think there will be some traction with Max Crosby or the Raiders? No way coming off Max Crosby. And what's going to happen with Hassan Redd?
Well, I'll say this. There's no way you're trading what it would take to get Max Crosby. I mean, the Raiders there are absurd in their demands. You're talking about like three first rounders, things like you're not going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. So I think Max Crosby probably winds up a Raider for life unless he forces his way out of there. As far as Hassan Reddick goes, now there you might have some possibility. That's one of those ones that I think everybody just kind of wants to wash their hands of the thing at this point, get it done. The only sort of downside there is what is he exactly? What is his love for football at this point? Does he really have that? What is this sort of mercurial holdout with the Jets sort of been all about? I think it'd be a great fit down there. The question is, does he love football at this point?
I don't want that juju in my locker room.
I said this to Mike earlier.
Yeah, you're right.
About this, and this is what is not being heard around the country. And Benjamin, you're on it because I think, this is part of, do I want any part of that coming to my organization and having to deal with that? Because, by the way, whoever trades for him, there will be pressure for him to deliver. And if that GM, if it ends up being a bad deal, that GM's going to catch hell. So I'm very skeptical about the whole Hassan.
And that's why maybe Rosenhaus is trying to say, look, pal, your best options are here.
Yes, right? Yes, no doubt about it.
There's a second component to that because if they trade him into the NFC – the deal with the Eagles accelerates the pick automatically to a second rounder going back to the Eagles. So the Jets may be reticent to trade him in the NFC.
Yeah. Hey, Benjamin Albright from KOA, NFL Insider with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Do you have any idea what the Dolphins are going to do, or what, more importantly, what is Tua Tagovailoa going to do?
Well, I mean, the Tua should retire. I mean, let's be honest here. I struggle to believe that there's going to be a sane doctor on this planet that's going to sign off on him coming back this season, let alone ever. These concussions are a serious thing. I hope that he's able to have a meaningful life. I hope if some miracle he's allowed to play again. I hope he's successful and all that kind of stuff. I'm not rooting against him. I'm just saying somebody's got to get in his ear for the better part of sense here. As far as the Dolphins go, they certainly have had scouts out here at Colorado for several games now, so they've been keeping an eye on the Shedeur Sanders thing for sure. I think they're kind of in the tank this season. I think they're writing this season off and looking for the future.
Yeah. By the way, Shedeur, number one overall pick. What's your take on him?
Man, I don't know about that. There's a couple of players I think I'd take before this draft. It's interesting because this draft is really 15 players. Like there's like 12 to 15 top end players, and then it's really kind of a muddled middle. It's not a high end draft. It's more of a mid round draft this year. So there's a couple. I would take Travis Hunter before I take Shedeur, but the premium on quarterbacks kind of drives these quarterbacks up a little bit. He's got some issues. He needs the right city too. Like there's some places he's not going to go. You don't want him in like a heartland city. You want him on the coast. You want him in a Miami.
Yeah.
You want him somewhere like that. He needs that kind of environment. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right. Prime time. We were just talking about how these bizarrely way too early mock drafts are already starting. Carson Beck, I mean, are scouts just going to fall in love with him the way they fall in love with bad North Carolina quarterbacks? Or does he have to do something against Texas? Or his brand is already strong, he's going to be a top 10 guy no matter what?
Well, his brand's already strong, I'll tell you that. But he's got the tools. I think part of it, he's sort of Sam Darnoldy in the way that, like, you know, one half of football, they'll show you something that you're like, well, what was that? And then the next half of football, you're like, oh, I see it now. And so there's sort of a little bit of that to his game. If he can find consistency over the rest of the season, I think that's the big thing for him. Everything's there. I mean, he doesn't have an elite arm, but it's good. He's got a great knowledge of pro passing concepts, things like that. He'll be a first rounder any which way you slice it. The question is where, and he just needs to develop more consistency.
We are talking with Benjamin Albright, guys, NFL insider, as we kind of go around the league. Falcons getting ready for their matchup against Seattle on Sunday. A big matchup, obviously, is going to be Sunday night. Steelers taking on the Jets. We know the changes the Jets have made. Benjamin, two-part question. One, do you think the addition of Davante Adams, what's it do for that offense that's had so many issues? And then two, when you're talking about the Steelers, what the hell is Mike Tomlin doing? We've been talking about this today. Yeah. Why create a controversy when you don't need one? You saw Russ in Denver. Tell us what we're missing here.
Well, let's go back to the first question first. Let's start with the Jets. Do I think adding Davante Adams is a good thing? Sure. But it's also like adding a radio to a boat with a hole in it. It's not the problem. You know, the problem with the Jets isn't the receivers. I understand the Mike Williams thing and all that, but that's not the problem. The problem is they get run on and they get too many penalties. And adding a wide receiver doesn't solve either one of those. So, I think they were premature in firing Saleh. I think they've got to get the penalties cleaned up, first of all, and the rest of it will take care of itself. But it's like adding luxury gold finishes, like I said, to a boat with a hole in it. You didn't patch the boat, but it sure looks pretty. So we'll see how that works out for them. As far as the Steelers go, I know some people on that staff. Russ was always going to be the starter until the calf injuries flared up. So that was always the plan. Now, with Justin out there, and they've won a few games, but apparently there's some internal discussion there because the offensive coordinator wants to stick with Fields, but just about everybody else wants to pivot. And a large portion of that is they think they're winning in spite of Justin Fields. I thought Fields has shown a few things here or there. I didn't think he's done quite enough to get benched. But at the same time, you throw Russ out there, you'll figure it out real quick. One of the two is going to be the guy, and they're trying to figure out who's going to be the guy as far as the stuff goes anyway. So you got enough of an exposure with Fields. You can always put him back in, this isn't a situation with a rookie where you yank him early, you undermine his confidence. Fields been around the block a little bit. He kind of knows. And I love what he said today in his interview or presser, whatever it was, in the locker room, where he said, hey, look, I didn't play well enough to keep a job. If I had, we wouldn't be having the discussion. I love that about him. I've never been his biggest fan, but man, I love that dude.
It is a hell of a story, and you're right, man. By the way, as we're talking with Benjamin Albright about those, about it, I just don't understand how Nathaniel Hackett got the job. You got to see him up close and personal. What a train wreck in Denver. Basically, to a national audience, you saw in his first game that he was in over his head. Was it just simply that he's literally Aaron Rodgers' valet, and that's how that whole thing transpired? And what is that relationship like now with Aaron Rodgers and the new OC?
Yeah, valet might be a little strong, more like coffee getter.
Coffee getter.
Hackett, man, that was... I'll say this. Look, Nate, everybody around the league loves Nate Hackett. They love Nate Hackett, the person. I remember when he got hired and I was asking about down there at the Senior Bowl and just kind of polling people about him a little bit. And everybody's, oh, I love it. Nate got a job. He's a good dude. He's good. And then finally I'd ask the question, well, can he coach? And it would be a lot of him and hawing right after that, And so that kind of tipped me off early. Then, and I will never forget this as long as I live. We get to training camp. It's a third day camp. They're getting out there, they're doing some stuff at 7-on-7s, and he just walks up to me, and he's like, you want to run around? And I think that was the moment where I was like, this is not serious. This is not what we're doing right here. It's not serious. You've got a journalist. You're asking of a journalist, what's the butt in on sevens, dude? Like, what are we doing here?
Oh my God.
The card that followed was not surprising.
Coming up, Dog Report, we also will give you our official picks headed towards the weekend.
Oh, I better make some picks.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm 10-8, Orange 10-8. Big O's out this week, but he sent in his picks. Mike's 9-9, Chris is 9-9. This thing is a dead heat.
And we got some breaking news real quick. We'll save it for 4 o'clock, but just mention Tech. It looks like Haynes King is out now, which I know he's been apparently, Carl, dealing with an upper body injury. Now the word comes out that no Haynes King for the Notre Dame game. It depends. What a buzzkill.
It is. Next man up, Mike. Zach Pyron, right? That's the guy that's stepping in.
Started two games in 22 for Tech. Had a road win. Had a road win in Blacksburg.
Yes, he did. All right, that is news because again, I think this is a big spot for Tech to follow up the win against North Carolina. Notre Dame's defense is really good. Marcus Freeman, the head coach there, has done a terrific job.
Right.
I know they had a slip up early in the year against Northern Illinois, but they've been really good.
Back then, their quarterback, their transfer from Duke, couldn't score. Now they're scoring too.
They are. All right, more on the Dogs, more on Georgia Tech coming up, and more on Carson Beck's comments about needing to be calm in the big moments if you miss that. But right now, let's get to...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, man, no man. Turtle, what is going on today? Happy Friday, my friend.
Yeah, same to you guys. Wish I was there celebrating some Friday shenanigans, but it's all good. Last night, I don't know if you guys saw this. I couldn't listen. Around halftime, I had to check out of that NFL game.
It was terrible.
It was putrid.
No, I had to stay with it. It was enjoyable. It was like, you know, it's like picture like, you know, you're like the Saints or ants, and you've got a magnifying glass. If you're into that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. True. It was bad. Turtle, I'm with you on this. I turned it off because, it was unwatchable for me.
So I turned on the baseball game, and it was the end of – it was actually a really, really good game. Back and forth between the Yankees and the Guardians. And the Guardians wound up winning in extra innings. They came back. Yankees had a back-to-back with Judge and with Stanton. It was all these fireworks. And then the Guardians said, not so fast, my friend. And Junksy Noel played hero. And I want you to hear the Spanish radio call from the Guardians.
El lanzamiento viene al plato. ¡Batazo! ¡Feliz Navidad! ¡Feliz Navidad! ¡Acaba de empatar el encuentro la Navidad en octubre!
I mean, everything sounds better in Spanish when it comes to sports. I mean, hell, an owner's manual to a snapper like riding mower, Carl, would sound better in Spanish.
It does. Oh, that's great, man. Hey, by the way, Turtle, I know you didn't expect him to come back, did you?
No, after the Judge and Stanton sort of silenced the crowd, took all the energy out of it. But you know what? I will say this. For those who haven't been following, the Yankees had a closer who was really good a couple of years ago. His name is Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
He lost his ability to close games, and they used their closer in the ninth inning, so they had to bring him in extra innings, and he gave it up. It was absolutely awful. It was like Chuck Knobloch forgetting how to throw from second base. This is the pitching equivalent of that.
Right.
Well, I hate
to see that. Man,
I hate
to see that happen to the Yankees, Carl.
Yankees still up 2-1 in the series, but that was the moment. And if they're gonna overcome this thing, they needed something special to happen, and that's exactly what happened last night. What a great call, though.
Yeah, it was awesome. All right, something else that's awesome is how the Falcons' offense has turned around since week one. This is fascinating. I found this from Zach Robinson. He was talking about the changing in personnel that they used in week one and how that's evolved since. So maybe that, you know, feeling out process against Pittsburgh was all that it was. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, there was, you know, a lot of things going into that first game, you know, that led us that direction. What we were seeing on tape from the Steelers, some of the matchups on the edge are tough. You know, both of those edge players are really good players. So, you know, we had a great feel for our 12 personnel throughout camp. And then as we got going the next week against Philly, we were like, hey, this looks like a great 11 game. And so then that started clicking, and then we kind of have just been, you know, rolling with that group since then. So not saying that we won't get back to 12 even this week with some things. And so, you know, we'll always just look at the opponent, what do they present from a schematic standpoint, from a player standpoint, and the matchups obviously is what's important. But it's been fun to, you know, like you said, kind of get back to the roots of the 11 personnel is what I've been accustomed to. But the 12 personnel and 13 personnel is still available.
Okay. Very interesting. I'm a big proponent of this. I don't care if you know what we do. Stop it. When you have a good offense, all right, and this gets back to what do we do best, how do we move the football, what do we do in the red zone, I don't care if you know what we do, Mike, you got to stop it. I think anybody around the NFL is watching the Ravens right now and going, man, they're giving the ball to Derrick Henry, and they're in 12 personnel, man, these tight ends, I don't know, I mean, 11 personnel, these tight ends are blocking like crazy. Stop it. So for Zach, to me, it is – we realized what we needed to do, and Mike, that's what we've been doing these last few games, which is why the offense looks better. I'm all for it.
Well, I said it last week, you know, the Josh McDaniels thing. When you say, you know, if you're a fantasy owner, Chris, you know, if you're trying to handicap the Falcons, it's tough because 1 week the running game is going to get dialed in, 1 week it might be the passing game, and that's fine because no one cares about your fantasy stats, but it's the way, Carl, you play to your strengths or the mismatches. I think this game sets up great for us. Run it right at Seattle because they really struggle. They're, as do we, they're just 2 yards worse than we are, Carl, per game, and stop in the run,
yeah.
But then set up that play action. Let's go to work.
One running back, one tight end, three wide receivers is 11 personnel. That's what he's talking about. If you're wondering from an offensive standpoint, that's who's on the field. 12 personnel is two tight ends, two wide receivers. So either way, we have the ability to run all of that, but he's saying this is what's really working. Chris, I'm with you. I'm all about that. Yeah, man, let's do more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to double down, Charlie Warner, backup tight end, whose role has seemingly suffered because of this change, still came out and said, I support our OC and what we're doing.
Yeah. Creativity is huge in this league, trying to present the same play in a different way to confuse the defense, to slow down the linebackers, or, you know, make the coordinator think something else is coming. But yeah, every week we're trying to do something. We're trying to do the same different, you know, and it's fun to be a part of. And, you know, it's fun to succeed for sure.
But Pitts has to be really good blocking, Carl, because it's a hell of a tell if Warner's out there.
It is.
And then you might know, oh, they're running the ball.
They're running the ball.
Right,
yeah.
Or they're coming this way.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
And he's doing a good job in his role, but that's the issue. At some point, Zach's got to draw something up, and I'm sure he has, Mike. Maybe Charlie Warner catches a touchdown in the red zone because you throw him out there.
That's crazy Arthur Smith talk.
It is. And you go, well, you know what? They're going to run the ball, and you got somebody, you know, on the defense adjusted. Warner's in the game. And then all of a sudden he's running a route in the back of the end zone. We'll see. But that's how you set folks up, man. We'll see how it plays throughout the course of the rest of the season.
All right, guys. It is going to be an absolutely picture-perfect weekend in the A in the great state of Georgia. What are we cooking?
Well, again, Friday, traditionally for Catholics, Carl, is fish. But once again, I'm going straight to hell with some ribeyes and some fillets. I got them at the little neighborhood spot in Tyrone called Spazzano's today. And just nice cuts of meat. They have the pre-made spuds, you know, loaded baked potato. Put it on the grill. Not going to do the reverse sear because I won't get home with this traffic until probably 10 o'clock tonight. And then we're just going to throw them on the grill on the Weber, man. So just gas it and go.
I love it. Chris, I, again, am undecided like so many people at this point.
What do you mean? How are you undecided?
Well, I'm undecided from the standpoint of what
you know. There's one steak or one option that works for you,
yes,
and one that's going to hurt you, Carl. How are you undecided in this 11th hour?
Here's the thing. The only thing I'm going to do, or that I know I'm going to do, is get Frankie some pig ears. That's all I know. When I go to the butcher shop, he gets pig ears, and outside of that, I don't know what I'm going to select. But I will send the pictures. Make sure you send your pictures, guys. Right. We put them on our Instagram at DukesandBell929. We love seeing what you guys are cooking. Mike's right. This time of year, I mean, it's all about being outside, brother.
Can't wait. I actually got an extra fillet for me for Saturday afternoon, man. Just getting ready for watching the dogs and the Longhorns. And again, do send those photos at DukesandBell929 at put 'em up. See Dukes and Mike Bell, ATL.
All right, a happy Christmas in October to everybody who celebrates. Turtle, let's get out of here.
Man, there's a shot. You may have already seen it on social media. It's from somebody's condo overlooking Jacobs Field.
Yeah.
And or whatever the hell it's called these days. and you hear the crowd and then the reaction to the home run, the fireworks going off. It's just amazing. And for a little market like that, the payroll difference between the Yankees and Cleveland, who's not rooting for the little guy in this
one? It's and, you know, the curse, they got to break it at some point. I mean, that's the other thing. Every time people say, oh, this is the team, it hasn't happened for the Guardians, formerly the Indians.
Joe Maddon did everything in his power to give those Indians, when they were the Indians, the World Series when it was Cubs and the Tribe.
He did. Coming up, Dog Report, Carson Beck talking about being calm in big moments. We'll hear from Kirby Smart as well. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks.